You are listening to AM 1530, Joe Gentile's WJJG.
WJJG, Elmhurst.
This is WJJG, Elmhurst, Chicago. The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily express the views of WJJG ownership, its staff, or sponsors.
Seasons turn like a heart. Your father's days are lost to you. This is your time here to do what you will do. Your life is now.
Welcome to Aging Info Radio. For caregivers, seniors, and those concerned about their aging journey. Aging Info Radio airs weekly on Thursdays at 1 o'clock p.m. on WJJG AM 1530, Chicago's hometown station. We are also streaming live on the web at www.wjjgam1530.com. We will have expert guests on weekly to educate and discuss the many topics of interest that move us all forward on our aging journey. If you have a request for a show on a specific topic, are an expert guest, or would like to be on Aging Info Radio, or would like to sponsor us, call 877-704-1530 or email info@aginginforadio.com. I am Sue Zawacki, your host. Well, we've all heard that laughter is the best medicine, or maybe even laughter is the music of the soul. And if it is the best medicine, we could sure use a dose or two more daily. Today we're going to find out about laughter and how it affects your health. My guest is Colleen Caron, who is employed by Alexian Brothers Behavioral Hospital in Hoffman Estates as a community liaison registered nurse. Colleen works for business development and acts as a consultant crisis intervention nurse. She is also a certified laughter leader who's been featured on ABC's Health Watch discussing the benefits of laughter and pain. And she's also been in numerous publications such as Caregiver Magazine, Nursing Spectrum, Inside Story, to name just a few. Colleen also has a private consulting business, which is RX Smile. Gotta love that name. Welcome, Colleen. Thank you for joining Aging Info Radio today.
Thank you so much, Sue, for having me.
So you are a certified laughter leader.
That's right.
What exactly is a certified laughter leader?
Well, some people say, are you certifiable? But actually what it means is that I attended some extensive training on the benefits of laughter and how to do actual belly laughing. And the many benefits of laughter are spiritual, emotional, and physical.
Wow. So now you're a registered nurse, and how did you get interested in the topic of laughter?
Well, what happened was when I went back to nursing school as an adult, I started working as an oncology nurse on an oncology unit. And after about 3 months, I thought, I hate this job. What did I do? And then I did an aha. I remembered a book I received at graduation from a very good friend. The title of the book is Anatomy of an Illness by Norman Cousins. And in the book, Mr. Cousins describes his experience laying in a hospital bed with an excruciating pain. The illness he had was ankylosing spondylosis. This was in the early 60s when doctors wore their God hat. So Mr. Cousins collaborated with his physician, unheard of in the 60s, and discovered that when he laughed, he felt better. And if he laughed for 10 minutes, he could actually get up to 2 hours of pain-free. So Mr. Cousins became a student of himself, observing himself, journaling, and embarked on laughter therapy. He He continued with medical treatment. That's important for everyone to hear. He continued with medical treatment. But this was adjunctive therapy, and we didn't really talk about that back in the 60s.
Wow.
So he was the first to begin the discussion on the benefits of humor and wellness in the medical profession. He was the first to journalize in the 1970s regarding this and began the debate on the power of health and humor.
So we've come a long way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So what happened on my oncology unit was we started joking with the patients, which we weren't doing before. We were very intense. We had what I call intensivitis or seriousitis, and you will not find that in Webster's Dictionary or Gray's Anatomy. But what that meant is we were just very intense on tasks. So we started kidding with the patients, telling some jokes during report, had a humor board, and then I went into psychiatry and brought that with and attended the World Laughter Training Session and the Laughter Yoga.
I see. Now, Colleen, you do an extraordinary presentation called Laughing Your Way to Wellness. So how do others get to see this presentation?
Okay, I do it for church groups, community groups, professional groups. I do it for national conventions. And it can be anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour and a half. We do laughter yoga exercises, which is all about deep breathing.
That's important.
Very.
Now, is this through the hospital or is it through your RX Smile?
Actually, it's for both. You know, I do many through the hospital, through libraries, churches, through the ASA convention, nurses groups, women's groups, church groups. I think I said that already. And we also offer CEUs for this.
Oh, that's great. Now, with laughter, we can make ourselves laugh. And the difference between spontaneous laugh and making ourselves laugh, is there a difference in the health benefit?
Absolutely not.
No?
Isn't that interesting?
Laughter.
Right, because when I do the presentation, at the end we do laughter yoga exercises, which is all about deep breathing and making yourself laugh. So research shows that when we make ourselves laugh, I call it range of motion for the funny bone, it's important to make yourself laugh daily. And you actually do it from your belly. And surprisingly, when we do these exercises, they're quite silly, they're funny. Everybody participates. I'd say about 99.9%. I even did it for a group of policemen and women.
Well, they need to laugh.
And they actually participated 100%. So it gives you permission to be silly, to make yourself laugh. I tell people to put their hands on their belly and feel the laughter from their belly. So that's the anatomy of a belly laugh. What happens is many changes in the body with the deep breathing. You are exercising every muscle in the body. You're actually improving the circulation, your cardiovascular system. We say what's good for the heart is good for the brain. You're releasing all these powerful chemicals from the brain.
Now, on the emotional level, I've always felt that laughter with one another or with a group of people connects people. So I'm sure on the emotional level, there's also a range of health benefits.
Oh, absolutely. Taking ourselves lightly, not taking ourselves so very seriously. And that's, again, range of motion for the funny bone daily. You know, in my presentation, we talk about if you've broken a knee or a hip, you know, you have to do range of motions as soon as the cast is off and the importance of it, because if you don't use it, you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with laughter.
Okay, so I've been telling my stepson, Jesse, for years that life is too mysterious to be so serious.
Very good. That's excellent. I like that quote. That's
you like
perfect.
That quote?
Okay, I do,
great.
I do. Abraham Lincoln states, laughter, the joyous, beautiful, universal evergreen of life.
That's great.
And Abraham suffered from depression, and he used laughter as a form of self-medication. There's many books written on the wit and wisdom of Abraham Lincoln. One of my favorite quotes of his is, he was often criticized for being two-faced. And my favorite quote is, if I was two-faced, do you think I'd walk around wearing this one?
Interesting. Now, I read an article that you wrote, The Anatomy of a Belly Laugh. And you talked a little bit about the breathing and laughing from your abdomen, but what do you, you know, tell the listeners out there a little bit about the anatomy of a belly laugh.
All right, I'd be happy to do so. What happens is when we do this laughter, not a snicker, not a chuckle, when we do the belly laughing, we're actually lowering our blood pressure. We're also lowering blood glucose. Isn't that interesting? Reducing pain, as Norman Cousins discovered. You know, 10 minutes of belly laughing, he got 2 hours of pain-free. We're also exercising our skeletal system. As I said, our cardiovascular, and as I said earlier, what's good for the heart is good for the brain. When we laugh, when we belly laugh for a period of time, we are releasing endorphins, we're releasing serotonin, dopamine. These are real positive chemicals in the brain. When we're stressed, what happens with a fight and flight syndrome, you know, where we're stressed, you know, perhaps in traffic, a phone call, a near miss accident, our adrenaline shoots up. You know, our body is ready for fight and flight syndrome. And what happens is we sit in all that adrenaline and cortisol, which is very harmful to the body. You know, back in caveman day, what we did was get up and fight or run and get rid of it. In today's world, we sit in it. So laughter, the benefits of laughter, help us rid of ourselves of those harmful chemicals.
So combating stress.
Exactly.
You need comedy.
Exactly. Comedy combats stress, Sue. That's right.
So with you being a certified laughter leader, you must have numerous stories to tell. Do you have any funny story right now that you'd like to tell us?
Well, actually, I did have several very funny stories. One woman that I worked with said she had taken a trip to Florida, a car trip, with her two little boys. They were about 3 to 5, and she was by herself. So when they had to stop at a restroom, of course they had to use the woman's restroom. So she said her one little guy went in and said, "Mom, look, there's a little post office box for us to drop off our postcards in each of the women's bathrooms." So, of course, that's a little bit of adult humor, but I always say through the eyes of a child, you know, because they're so innocent and they speak the truth. It's wonderful. My grandson says, he calls the Sears Tower, of course now it's the Willis Tower, he calls it the Sirius Tower. Oh. So instead of us calling it the Willis, we say we're going to the Sirius Tower.
Now, what about laughter clubs? I see more and more of them around. Are they around and available? I mean,
absolutely.
For people to join?
Absolutely, and I'm happy to help anybody start one. Laughter club is where you actually do the laughter exercises. You can make them up, the laughter yoga exercises. And what it is we laugh from our belly, and we pretend that we're a penguin. We pretend we're picking apples. We pretend we're going up and down a roller coaster. I know it sounds silly, but believe me, everybody participates. Remember, I told you the policemen, they participated.
Now, do people in these, so you've been part of these clubs, do they get, you know, individuals get self-conscious, or is it uncomfortable for
people
at first?
That's such an interesting question, because that's what I thought, that people would be self-conscious and say, you absolutely cannot make yourself laugh. Untrue. People join in, because laughter is contagious.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is.
Carol Burnett states, comedy is tragedy plus time.
There you go. So where is there a laughter club around the Chicagoland area, or a few of them that are already started that you know about?
Well, actually, you can go on the web and look for a laughter club. Some of the libraries have them. And as I said earlier, I'm happy to help anybody out with starting one.
And then I would think if you went to the laughter club on pretty much a regular basis, the days that you weren't there, you could practice what they're teaching.
You practice, absolutely. One of my audience members told me that she gets up in the morning and does a laughter exercise after she takes her shower. She stands in the mirror and laughs, which I think, she lives alone, of course. And she said, I get a real good laugh first thing in the morning.
There you go. So what about laughter yoga? I've seen more and more of that. I mean,
and that's the laughter exercises, which is all about the deep breathing, you know, because when you're belly laughing and you make yourself belly laugh, you are doing that deep breathing, the very deep breathing. So that improves circulation. That improves, as I said earlier, cardiovascular. It's wonderful for our skeletal system. And the relief of pain is incredible.
So how make yourself laugh?
There you go. How about you, Sue? Laugh with me.
Oh, I don't know.
We're going to belly laugh.
We're going to belly laugh? Are we going to belly laugh?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to belly laugh.
What makes you laugh, Sue?
Oh, just fun things. You know, connecting with others, spontaneous moments, humor, a lot of different things.
Yeah,
but you always feel better when you laugh.
You feel better when you laugh. And interestingly, people think like, oh, do you have to be very extroverted and be able to tell jokes? No, absolutely not. Some of the very quiet, introverted people that I know have the best sense of humor. Because remember, you also have to enjoy and listen.
Yes, yes. Interesting. So what would you say as far as the health benefits, more on the health benefits? I know we talked a little bit about, you know, the blood pressure and your emotional side of it. What are some of the other health benefits?
Okay, well, the feeling of relaxation, the stress buster, really, the great feeling of relaxation that you get. And as I said earlier, you know, you are lowering blood pressure, you're releasing pain, it all goes together in a holistic way, the mind-body-spirit connection. Mm-hmm. Is at work when we're laughing, you know, because those chemicals are released from the brain and you're decreasing those stress chemicals, cortisol and adrenaline. We want those decreased.
I'll lower them definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We're going to be right back.
Built on a foundation of customer service, Total Parking Solutions, local company with over 35 years industry experience, highly trained and certified service staff. Total Parking Solutions, a proud provider of Calais multi-space parking technology to over 50 communities, transit authorities, and public institutions in the Chicagoland area. Visit us at www.totalparking.net. Proven parking technology to drive you into the future.
Kevin, now that you're in eighth grade, let's not talk about alcohol. I won't ask if you've tried alcohol or what you're doing when you sleep over a friend's house. You're too young to even think about stuff like drinking. Right, kiddo? Real kids are curious about alcohol. 40% try it by the eighth grade. Start a real conversation at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk early. Talk often. Get others involved. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Do you have a child with autism? Then you know how autism impairs a child's social interactions and ability to communicate. And you know it affects not only him or her, it takes a toll on the whole family. If your child with autism is between 6 and 12 years of age, you may want to learn more about ConnectMe, a clinical research trial at the Alexian Brothers Behavioral Health Hospital in Hoffman Estates. ConnectMe will assess the effects of an investigational medication on socialization and communication in children with autism. ConnectMe provides free of charge diagnosis, study medication, comprehensive study-related evaluations, and close follow-up with physicians specializing in autism. To see if your child qualifies or to learn more, you can visit autismclinicalstudy.com. That's www.autismclinicalstudy.com or Google ConnectMe. To speak with someone in person, you can call 877-717-8839. That's 1-877-717-8839.
Hi, I'm Al Roker. The American Red Cross has a proud tradition of volunteers helping their neighbors in emergencies. Today, they need you more than ever. They need good people to help the victims of disaster. They need good people to roll up their sleeves and donate blood. And they need good people to make financial gifts so the Red Cross will always be there to help. Contact your local Red Cross and become part of the tradition of helping. Together, we can save a life.
Welcome back to Aging Info Radio. And don't forget, this coming Sunday, September 12th, is Grandparents' Day. Show your grandma and your grandpa appreciation, spending time together, and why not bring some laughter along with you? And if you're a grandma or grandpa and you are listening, you let your loved ones know it is your special day. That's right. You toot your own horn because you've earned every right to. Back to my guest, Colleen Caron, who is a registered nurse and a certified laughter leader with Alexian Brothers Behavioral Hospital. Let's talk about laughing at yourself.
That's excellent, because when I talk about this, think of yourself as a teenager, adolescent. Were you able to laugh at yourself, Sue, during those years?
Probably I laugh at myself more today than I did during those years. I think those are tough years.
Exactly. Laughter comes with maturity. Laughing at ourselves comes with maturity. You know, there are some old souls around that are able to do that when they're teenagers, but very few. You know, I remember I'm from a family of nine, and I remember being embarrassed. I'm the second oldest of having so many little brothers and sisters. They were like 7 years younger than myself, and I lived a half a block from the high school. And I hated it when my friends would walk by my home and see all these little kids running around with the dog. Now I laugh at that. You know, like, what was I so embarrassed about? You know, people would say, how many kids in your family? Oh, my goodness, in that little house. And, of course, it gives us a lot of grist for talking about large families. You know, we had a lot of humor in our family. My dad was a great comedian. He really was. And taught us to laugh at ourselves. The important thing is taking yourself lightly. For example, I am directionally challenged. You know, I get lost in a phone booth.
Okay.
I truly do. And that's been my whole life. It has nothing to do with IQ. One of our psychiatrists told me that. It's the parietal part of the brain that is a little bit like a learning disability. So I have many stories about getting lost, some humorous stories. When I worked at another facility, I was interviewing somebody in the outpatient department, the director of outpatient services, and I went down to see her. And we walked. We were walking for about 15 minutes, and I thought we were going to her office. And I finally said, Virginia, where are we going? We had been through the bowels of the hospital, you know, areas I'd never been in before. And she said, I thought we were going to your office.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. So laughing at ourselves, you know, it's so important. So now I have a new best friend. Her name is Gilda. And Gilda is my GPS, and she is absolutely wonderful. She's quiet and tells me redirecting in a very calm voice, you know. So my cortisol levels and adrenaline don't go up when I'm using Gilda.
And then when you make the wrong turn and she starts telling mm-hmm. you things, then you can also get some laughter out of that.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You and Gilda have a great
we
time
together.
We have
a great relationship.
There mm-hmm. you go.
She's a great best friend.
Now, we talked about the benefits of laughter for mental and emotional, or physical and emotional. What about mental health?
Oh, my goodness. When I do these laughter groups, I started a laughter group in a partial hospital program at a facility I worked for prior to Alexian Brothers. And it's wonderful for depression because one of the first symptoms of depression is what we call anhedonia, which is the lack of pleasure. So you're not laughing at anything. When people come in, they'll usually say with depression, I'm not enjoying life. I'm not finding anything funny anymore. I'm not enjoying my grandchildren. I'm not enjoying my children, my friends, the TV shows I watch. I'm just not enjoying life. So what we do is, this is a perfect example of making yourself laugh. So we started a humor group for depression, and the most depressed person would walk in looking very sad, you know, usually shoulders down, face looking very sad, kind of flat affect is what we say. And because laughter is contagious, we would do some laughter exercises, tell some funny stories. You know, once we get people going, they love to tell a funny family story, such as a family vacation. As Carol Burnett had said, laughter is comedy is tragedy plus time. So those family vacations, you know, perhaps where you ran out of money, the car broke down, you stayed at the Roach Motel, who you thought were your best friends were your worst enemies after 3 days. The family you went to visit, you were what possessed you doing such a thing? You know, the kid broke their arm, whatever. Those stories with time improve and everybody laughs. And they're usually embellished also. So that comedy is tragedy plus time. And people love to tell embarrassing stories, embarrassing moment stories. Mm-hmm. Do you have one, Sue?
No, we're going to go on to something else.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to share that yet.
She's
today,
not going to share the embarrassing moment.
I may get to that point. Now, I found that laughing alone is, you can feel the health benefits, but
yes.
I feel it's much more powerful to laugh with others. So I'm sure that's where the laughing clubs come in.
Absolutely.
There's got to be probably more health benefits when you're with others and you're all laughing. I mean, I automatically feel very connected to people when there's laughter.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the others?
Say that again,
Sue. What are some of the others just with in the social content of laughter?
Oh, in the social content.
Yeah.
Okay. Usually during a business meeting, I'm finding, you know, I found throughout my whole life, sometimes in a committee that you're on where, you know, it gets very intense, very serious, you know, a little comic relief, you can just kind of feel the tension break.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
and that can be with a church group, a homeowners association. It can be with your a family meeting. You know, I attend a lot of family meetings because I work with older adults and I do the crisis intervention. And some we find, especially with Alzheimer's, you know, that's what I work with, is that type of dementia or other dementias with family members. And sometimes we never laugh at people, but just laughing at some of the funny scenarios or some of the wonderfully funny things people say.
Wow. Oh, definitely. And I would think as far as laughter in relationships, like marriage.
Absolutely.
Siblings, parents, just when you're with, you know, one-on-one with somebody, that has got to enhance it.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think research has proven that when you're looking for a mate, the number one quality is a sense of humor, you know, that people are looking for.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, definitely. So laughter, of course, we're always smiling, usually smiling when we're laughing, but I would think that the smile would start, you would be able to do your own laughs with just starting to smile, like to think about something funny.
Think of something funny.
Or think of, you know, counting your blessings, or, you know, when you're hearing somebody laugh, you hear somebody laugh in a place, laugh as well.
Absolutely. You could even order some, I think through Amazon.com, you know, you can go online and order some laughter tapes. And just listening to those, you start laughing because it is contagious.
Oh, that's so great.
You can help yourself.
I would think, too, being around fun and playful and spontaneous others will definitely help. So how about developing a sense of humor? There's people that are just, you know, very serious and stoic, and they don't express that part of themselves.
You're absolutely right. Because when I do my presentation and we do the laughter exercises, some of the participants will say, you know what, I don't have a sense of humor. I never did. I don't have a sense of humor. Nobody in my family did. You know, we were pretty serious. And I say, time's a wasting. Let's start. You know, because when you look at newborn babies, I always find that fascinating. When they smile right away. And we used to say it was gas. Now we know it's actual. They are responding. We are social creatures. Mm-hmm. They are responding. So that smile is not gas. They're responding to the tone of the voice, the touch. You know, so we start at a very, very early age and continue to develop that. Sometimes that's squelched in a family through no fault of anybody's. And the important thing is that you can learn to laugh and learn to have a sense of humor. It's there.
Wow. So you actually have to just kind of learn to lighten up a bit.
Lighten up. Two words. I tell people to put that on their bathroom mirror, their refrigerator, somewhere in their car, lighten up.
So let's talk about lightening up. So is there any types of, you know, like a checklist? Could you say that there, you know, that maybe certain things are just not worth getting upset over, or maybe flipping them to the other side and making humor out of it and just kind of letting it go? I mean, is there a checklist for lightening up?
Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff is the number one. And I think there's even a quote in the Bible from Proverbs of a light heart, you know, and something about dry bones. I can't remember the exact quote. But I tell people in our audience, you don't want dry bones. Mm-hmm. You absolutely don't want dry bones. Dry bones is the person who at a meeting will say, we've done that before. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that. They won't let us. You know, so that's kind of the dry bones person. So always questioning, like, who are they? Why not? Why not? And also, you know, looking at the group and saying, maybe we need a little break here, and can somebody tell a funny story?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that will release the tension. That will release the tension, especially at family meetings. That can be very intense.
Well, I could see that using humor and play to overcome difficult challenges can definitely put a different twist on a situation.
Oh, absolutely. Now, humor is appropriate. There's appropriate and inappropriate times for humor. During a crisis is not the appropriate time for humor.
Mm-mm.
You know, when you're calling 911, you don't say, knock, knock, who's there? But, you know, after the crisis is over, and I think you found this too, Sue, after a crisis is over, sometimes it's good to sit back, you know, have a cup of coffee and laugh at some of the things that occurred.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. So what would you say, Colleen, as far as, you know, they say, everybody says, of course, laughter is the best medicine. Do you really feel that so?
I do. I do. I think it's more important than breathing.
You do.
I truly do. I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about it in the healthcare field especially, because we can get so very serious, and we are dealing with some very intense, very sad, very serious illnesses or things that happen to people. And just having that lightness of mood, you know, I think it gives people hope. It absolutely gives people hope.
Now, with you being in the medical field, talking about, you know what, I think we may want to hold that thought. We'll be right back. Wait a minute. You're 65, and you're 65, and you are too? You guys are the early boomers. And I heard the senior population is going to increase by 40% within the next 5 years. I believe we are on the forefront of a silver tsunami. Thursdays at 1 o'clock, join Aging Info Radio for caregivers, seniors, and those concerned about their aging journey. Our guests will bring their expertise to topics of interest. If you would like to be an expert guest or sponsor Aging Info Radio, call us at 877-704-1530 or email info@aginginforadio.com. I am Sue Zawacki, your host on Aging Info Radio, WJJG, AM 1530.
Somewhere around the world, there are men and women of the armed forces risking their lives, helping rebuild communities after natural disasters, collecting toys for needy children, tutoring kids in local schools. They were at Bunker Hill, Gettysburg, Iwo Jima, Khe San. They've been under the sea and to the moon. They stand watch in Korea. They keep drugs away from our shores. They patrol our skies every day, every year. These are your sons and daughters. You see them in church and at Little League games. But they are special because they work to keep us safe, secure, and free. Dedicated men and women who put their country first.
Me, I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few. I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinu.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinu.org.
Welcome back to Aging Info Radio. And on Tuesday, September 14th, join State Representative Sandy Pios and Patty Bellock with the American Cancer Society at DuPage Women's Health Fair. It is being held at Yorktown Shopping Center at Highland and Butterfield Road in Lombard from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. And as Patty says, we are excited to be hosting our fourth annual DuPage Women's Fair, which will promote healthy lifestyles and provide a huge variety of screenings, interaction with medical representatives, and lots of interesting speakers. She says the success of this event has grown and the response has been phenomenal. Stop by Yorktown Mall this coming Tuesday and enjoy the DuPage County Women's Fair. And it's not just for women. We are back with our certified laughter leader, Colleen Caron. And I was going to ask Colleen about laughter, being in the healthcare industry, laughter and pain.
Okay, that was that's very interesting. It actually, I have proof myself, proof positive that that does work. About 3 years ago, I was suffering from some back pain, you know, and I was seeing a doctor and having cortisone injections and doing exercises, and the pain wasn't going away. When I would do this talk, I observed myself. I became a student of myself, as Norman Cousins did in his book, Anatomy of an Illness. Observed myself, and after we did the laughter exercises, I did get up to 2 hours of pain-free. You know, I did have the condition remedied finally, you know, by getting a second opinion, which is always good. But I can attest to the fact that laughter actually does relieve pain. You know, 10 minutes of belly laughing. Not a snicker, not a chuckle, but a belly laugh actually does give you up to 2 hours of pain-free. Isn't that wonderful without medication?
Oh, that's wonderful, but 10 minutes, that's a long time.
Well, you're going to practice laughing. How long do you do range of motion? You know, after you've had a broken hip or a knee replacement, you know, shoulder, any kind of surgery with the skeletal system, any fracture, every day you're doing at least 10 minutes of range of motion, you know, for that fractured part.
So I think you could do baby steps where you do, you know, 2.5 minutes here, 2.5 minutes there.
Absolutely.
And then you start to get stronger and
I say how to eat an elephant a bite at a time.
There you go.
You know, especially for the, as you had mentioned earlier, Sue, those folks who said, you know, I don't have a sense of humor. I've lost my sense of humor. I don't know where it went, but it's gone. I don't laugh anymore. So that's what I say is how to eat an elephant a bite at a time, those baby steps.
Definitely. So, Colleen, you're asking me about an embarrassing moment. This happened years ago.
I want to hear
it. And looking back on it, I laugh. Even later
comedy
in the day,
is tragedy plus time, as Carol Burnett said.
Colleen's having me go out on a limb here. Yeah. But actually, the story is this. I was walking down Michigan Avenue. And I was dressed nice. I was working in an office, and I had a jacket on with a flared skirt. And I was walking at lunchtime, and they were just building, you know, updating Michigan Avenue with all the new stores. And the construction workers were doing the yahoos, and I'm just walking past them doing my thing. And I went into a shoe store, and this lady tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Honey, your skirt's tucked into the back of your nylons." I fixed it, and then walking back by the same construction workers, the yahoos were a little different.
A little less.
But that was a really embarrassing moment for me, and when I look back on it, I think it makes me laugh.
Absolutely. Tell that story at family gatherings, right?
I haven't told it in a long time.
Uh-huh.
I haven't.
Yeah, so Carol Burnett
is
right.
And I make sure I don't repeat it.
Right.
And if I saw somebody in that situation, I would definitely tell them.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Uh-huh. It's like having spinach on your tooth when you're giving a public presentation.
Right. At least go tell the person. So I think as you start to mature, you start to get lighter about the whole laughter scene, and you're able to really laugh at yourself.
Right. I had witnessed somebody laughing at themselves at a young age, or the person who did this was maybe 18, 19. I was at Poplar Creek Concert back when they had that over on the hillside in Hoffman Estates. I think that was in the 1980s, perhaps. Elton John was performing. It had rained that whole week in August, so the hillside where everybody sat, the audience, was all muddy, totally muddy. Right before Elton came out, a young woman dressed in a yellow jumpsuit, remember jumpsuits?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, slid down the hill. She was covered with mud from back to front, covered. Everybody looked at her. There was a collective sigh in the audience, like, you know? And you know what she did? She turned around and curtsied to the audience. I'll never forget that.
Great.
It was great. She got more applause than Elton John did. So I went during intermission, I saw her in the restroom, and I said, you know, I want to congratulate you for staying, not letting it ruin your evening. Like a dry bones person would have said, I have the worst luck. Everything happens to me. You know, I have to go home. I can't stay. And she said, oh, my God. She said, look at me. I'm all dried mud, and I'm having the time of my life.
That's great.
Isn't that a great story about laughing?
Dry bones.
Yeah, dry
That's
bones.
Great. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely great. So
And talking about laughter, there's certain celebrities that have one in particular, Michael J. Fox.
Right.
Now, what is his I know what his disease is and mm-hmm. or his illness.
Right.
And what is his relation with laughter and what he has going on?
Well, talk about laughing at himself. He was on TV maybe 2 years ago. He's promoting his book, Always Looking Up, The Adventures of an Incurable Optimist. And there he was on TV golfing with Bill Murray. Golfing with Bill Murray. And, you know, with his disease, he has involuntary movements, continuous involuntary movements with the Parkinson's disease. And there he is golfing and laughing at himself. I just thought that was so incredibly inspiring to see that. A quote of his is, he was inspired by Christopher Reeve's description of a hero, an ordinary individual who finds the strength to persevere and endure. And another quote of Michael's is, for everything this disease has taken, something with greater value has been given. He describes getting up in the morning with Parkinson's disease. Now imagine this involuntary movement. You've kind of got to get a mind's eye of that. His first stop is the bathroom. And his quote is, it's essential to put the seat up.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So laughing at ourselves, he's a great example of that. Back to Abraham Lincoln. He was a great one for laughing at himself.
Mm-hmm.
He truly was. Especially that quote I had mentioned earlier about the two-faced, you know, if he had another face, would he wear that one? But he, on election night, 1864, he was nervous and tense. They were anticipating a very bad outcome. So what he did was he took a book of humor to calm his nerves. And a member of the cabinet walked in and saw what Lincoln was reading. He left the White House in total disgust, thinking, President Lincoln did not understand the seriousness of the evening. And actually, the opposite was true. He totally understood. You know, what good would it do to sit and fret and worry about what he should have done, what he could have done, what might happen, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
He sat and read a book of humor to calm his nerves.
Oh, I could see that.
Isn't that amazing?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at humor, say under the area of fear, so somebody's afraid or you bring mm-hmm. that to relieve fear and anxiety, I would think that that would be another huge benefit of it.
Yeah, because fear and anxiety, remember, are stress,
mm-hmm.
stress-related too. You know, we always go back to what's stress-related. And fear and anxiety, sometimes just laughing at this, we tell people, name it. You've got to name what the fear is, what the anxiety is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes imagining, using your imagination to imagine the very worst scenario. You know, remember that old saying, if you're afraid of public speaking, imagine yourself standing there naked or everybody in the audience naked. So imagining something humorous about the fear, exaggerating it. Exaggeration is also a form of humor.
Oh, that's great. Well, I would think, too, that people have to be willing to kind of give up, you know, if they are more leaning more toward the dry bones type,
mm-hmm.
to give up a little bit of control to actually engage into laughter or into situations.
And that's where the making yourself laugh comes in. You know, if you are the dry bones. But taking that leap of faith, you know, taking that leap of faith and saying, you know what, I'm going to try this for a minute. Just stand in the mirror and make myself laugh. Just make myself laugh. And you'll suddenly feel, as I said earlier, what's good for the heart is good for the brain. Those endorphins are released from the brain, the serotonin, the dopamine that I had mentioned earlier, and you get a feeling of well-being.
Mm-hmm. You know what I find with laughter too? If I find somebody laughing, I'm pulled toward them.
Right, exactly.
It is so. Mm-hmm. I'm attracted to that. Mm-hmm. Is that me or is that a common denominator?
We are attracted to people who make you feel good,
and laughter does.
And laughter does that to feeling good, taking ourselves lightly. There's so much going on in today's world with the economy, you know, politics. The news, you know, when you turn on TV first thing in the morning, what are people hearing? You know, like some awful things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Stock market is going down, our war, what's happening with healthcare reform. You know, a lot of scare tactics. And I think if we can just look, set back and think, okay, what do I have control over? What don't I have control over? And what can I laugh about?
So humor basically lightens your burdens.
Lightens your burdens, absolutely. I call it a padded cross.
A what?
A padded cross. We all have crosses to bear, but if we can laugh at some of them, it pads it a bit, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. I would also think that it can completely shift your perspective on many things. Like you just said, watching the news, listening to the news, you're feeding your brain and yourself with a lot of negativity.
The ain't it awful.
Ain't it awful.
Ain't it awful syndrome, I call it.
So,
and awfulizing. You know.
So you might be better off switching that to the comedy channel.
Exactly.
Early in the morning.
In your brain. The comedy channel in your brain. And you have to have little humor reminders, you know. I tell people, lighten up. How do you lighten up? Watch those TV shows that you enjoy. Keep a humor scrapbook on your coffee table. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great because we do get amnesia when we're feeling bad. We forget that we have felt good at one time. So sometimes reading those little humorous stories that occurred in the family, funny pictures, photos, you know, buying some books on humor. You know, it takes work. It actually does.
That sounds great. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines when we come back, and you're able to call in at 708-493-1530 and ask Colleen Caron, the certified laughter leader, any question that may have crossed your mind. Once again, that number is 708-493-1530. We'll be right back.
I'm Seattle Sutton, founder of Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. There's only one bottom line in weight loss, and that is you take in a certain number of calories, and when you wear off more calories than that, you lose weight. Fad diets just don't work. Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating works because we serve you what you should eat for the rest of your life. If anybody calls and asks, "Do you guarantee I will lose weight?" You know what? We play no games. We tell them that if they order the 1,200 calorie plan and don't lose weight, they're either laying there in a coma not wearing off calories or they're cheating, because that's a fact. People appreciate that Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating tells it like it is. There are no gimmicks, no contracts to sign. Find us on the internet at seattlesutton.com. For more information and your nearest location, call Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating day or night. Call toll-free 800-442-DIET. That number again is 800-442-DIET. Call now. You'll be glad you did.
Eight. We've worked together for years.
Seven. I'm the parking attendant. I park your car every day.
One in eight Americans is struggling with hunger.
Six. We speak at PTA meetings all the time.
Including millions of children and seniors.
Five. I went to summer camp with your son last year.
Four. I'm your old friend. We went to high school together.
Someone you know is in need.
Three. I work at the gas station. I pump your gas.
Two. I'm your neighbor. Our kids are classmates.
Who's the one in eight in your life that needs help?
One. We live next door to each other.
You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We've been angry.
We've been hurt.
We've been lonely.
We've been pressured.
We've been ashamed.
We've been miserable.
We've been hopeless.
We've been lost.
We've been labeled.
We've been invisible.
We've been controlled.
We've been judged.
If you're one of the more than 26 million teens living in the U.S. today, chances are you'll go through your share of tough times. Let's face it, being a teen isn't easy. We know because we've been there.
We've been accepted.
We've been supported.
We've been confident.
We've been brave.
Check out reachout.com to hear teens share their own stories on how they've made it through tough times. You might even find ways to deal with all you're dealing with. Because we've been there, we can help each other.
We've been inspired.
We've been determined.
We've been acknowledged.
We've been given a chance.
We've been there.
We've been there.
We can help us.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Inspire USA Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Alexian Brothers Behavioral Health Hospital is where my guest today, Colleen Caron, is employed. And they are the largest psychiatric hospital in the Chicago area, and they specialize in older adult care.
They offer a full range of services and are committed to quality, holistic care. And one of the things I find really unique is they offer same-day walk-in appointments for assessments at no charge and are the only hospital where you get an actual person to talk to when you call their access intake department. Alexi and Brothers' phone number is 847-882-1600. And I also want to tell you that Colleen's company, RX Smile, can be contacted directly at 847-312-9633. You can also email Colleen at ColleenAKaren@comcast.net. And we have a caller here on the line. Once again, if you're interested in any questions for Colleen about laughter, you can call us at 708-493-1530. We welcome your call. And we've got Ray on the line.
Hi, Colleen. How are you?
I'm fine.
I wanted to find out, I think your laughter therapy is a great idea, and I would like to get my mother getting into it. What's the best way to start out? Would you recommend books? Would you recommend your seminar? And, you know, she's a little bit older in that and bad arthritis, and I really think it would help her.
Good question, Ray, and thanks for calling. I'm going to get you a list of some of the seminars that I'll be presenting, and I think it'd be great for her to attend one of them. There is no charge. And another thing is I can recommend some wonderful books on laughter. The Norman Cousins, Anatomy of an Illness, is excellent. It's a timeless book, and it talks about the benefits and how Norman Cousins actually healed himself. There is no guarantee of a healing, but I can guarantee that you will improve quality of life, absolutely, 100%. Improve quality of life and decrease pain through laughter. The other one is Michael J. Fox's Always Looking Up, The Adventures of an Incurable Optimist is a great book to read.
Great. Thank you very much, Colleen.
Thank you, Ray. Thanks for the phone call.
Once again, you can call us at 708-493-1530. We would love to hear one of your laughter moments, something that you can actually laugh about yourself that happened to you. Your story is definitely invited, so give us a call at 708-493-1530. Colleen and I would love to hear from you.
That's right, we would. So please call in. I love to hear the embarrassing stories, the embarrassing moments.
We all want to laugh.
Yeah, we want to laugh.
Get everybody laughing.
Another point I wanted to bring up is sarcasm. You know, many people get confused with sarcasm. Is that a form of laughter? Actually, no, it is not. Irony is is a form of laughter. That's when we're laughing at the absurd or that things didn't turn out quite the way we thought but went in a completely different direction. Sarcasm is actually a form of anger, and it has a double-edged sword. So it's said with a smile or with a little bit of a chuckle or a snicker, and the recipient of that remark will usually feel something in their gut that doesn't feel good. You know, they're taken aback, or it feels like someone punched you in the chest or stomach. Can take your breath away because the comment can be hurting. And as I said, it's a double-edged sword because when you say, ouch, that hurt, the sarcastic person who gave you the comment will say, oh, can't you take a joke? I was just kidding. You're too serious. You're too sensitive. And they laugh again. So what's a good response to that? What do you think, Sue? You know, you've been in those moments, haven't you, with the sarcastic, sometimes a business meeting, family meeting, sarcastic.
I try to diffuse them with laughter.
Okay, so you just kind of laugh back?
Yeah, I think you can also pick up on where the person's coming from.
Uh-huh.
You know, is it really sarcastic? Or I also find with sarcasm that a lot of it is just concealed defensiveness.
It's usually insecurity, absolutely. It's either anger or insecurity.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So I always say it's okay to say, yeah, that did hurt. I don't mind being sensitive, because wouldn't you rather be sensitive than insensitive?
Oh, definitely. You know?
Or sometimes silent. And I also envy the people who can raise one eyebrow. Can you do that? Raise one eyebrow?
No.
Because that speaks volumes.
I can't do that.
Jack Nicholson does that well. He does that well. You don't have to say a word. You just raise an eyebrow. I wish I could do that.
So does he do that when he says, you can't handle the truth?
That's right.
Yeah. So overall, what I get from laughter, it relaxes the whole body. The immune system. Did we really go?
No, we did not touch on that. That is interesting. Yes. Research again shows that the immune system is boosted. The reason for that is, again, that brain-heart connection. You know, you are releasing all those wonderful hormones from the brain, the serotonin, the dopamine that we talked about earlier, the endorphins. What happens with stress that we talked about earlier was the cortisol, adrenaline. And when your body is flooded with that cortisol, that feeds on the blood sugar. The cortisol is then interesting. That will raise that. Blood pressure goes up. All of those things happen. Our immune system is attacked. When we laugh, we actually are boosting the T cells in the immune system. Isn't that fascinating?
That's great. So I guess it's just...
it's good stuff. It's all good
very
stuff.
Good stuff. And I also get that because it releases those endorphins, it, of course, helps fight stress, and it probably protects your heart. I mean, there's got to be heart benefits here.
Because you're doing the deep breathing for the circulation. You're doing that deep breathing, okay, for your lungs. The heart and lungs work together, remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of this works together. You know, we're a smooth machine, and when it's interrupted by stress,
mm-hmm.
we start breathing shallow. We're walking different. Everything mm-hmm. is different. We feel more pain.
Mm-hmm. So a sense of humor is probably one of the most powerful tools that you have to actually support your state of good health.
It absolutely is. And one of my wonderful quotes that I love to say is, remember, you don't stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop laughing.
There you go. So what about you, Colleen? You've got to have another story. You've been doing this for so long.
I have some excellent stories. I truly do.
Yes.
Okay. Now, and I hear from the audience always. So one gentleman, this is a great story. He raised his hand. He raised his hand and said, I've got to tell you about my aunt. He said she had Lou Gehrig's disease. She had had it for about 4 or 5 years. He said she was near death. The family was called in to sit at the bedside. He said, the doctor said, she probably won't last throughout the night. He said, so we were sitting there. We loved her dearly. He said she had a great sense of humor. Suddenly, she speaks and says, can I have a pencil? He said his dad, her brother, was shocked, you know, because she hadn't talked for quite a while. He gets her a pencil and a pad of paper. He's holding the pad of paper. She is struggling to write something. He said the family is sitting there. What is she going to write? What is it? Is she going to tell a family secret? Is she going to tell where some money is? Is she going to give some words of wisdom? It's got to be so important. She is struggling so hard to write this down. She drops the pencil, and guess what? On the paper, his dad is able to read, Rick, your fly is open.
Oh
God, everybody laughed. They laughed so hard at that. He said she lightened the mood of the whole family. So what I like to say is be inspired in spirit. And that's what this woman gave her family, that wonderful gift of humor. She died two hours later. And he said, you know, her body was very ill, but her spirit was alive and well. And she gave that wonderful gift to the family. He said, we just laughed. We cried, of course, because at her loss. He said, but we also laughed at her memory, you know, the wonderful things that she had given us.
And they'll always remember
always.
That. So how about, let's talk about opportunities to laugh. Like, you know, if you, playing, I have fun with my pet.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
pets are great.
Pets are
wonderful. And you'll notice in nursing homes, they do pet therapy.
Uh-huh.
At hospitals, pet therapy. When I walk into nursing homes, I'll see the pet walking around, and they give, what, unconditional love.
Absolutely.
And they make you laugh. They do silly, funny things, and you can be silly and funny with them.
And imagine coming home to your pet with an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
They'll always greet you. They may have an attitude after they greet you, but they do. They always greet you.
Absolutely.
But even doing something silly.
Mm-hmm. Doing something silly. Look at ourselves, not taking ourselves so seriously, as we had said.
Or comedy clubs.
Comedy clubs are great. Uh-huh. Looking at opportunities, you know, because once we start getting peripheral vision with laughter, you'll see at the grocery store. You know, children are the best, I think. I tell some of our older folks, if you're not around kids, You know, go sit someplace in a mall in the winter and just watch children. Mm-hmm. They say and do the funniest. Mm-hmm. They're the best. They're the best comedians.
They bring it. They bring the playfulness and the humor Absolutely. Out pretty easily.
You know, when you're at a concert in the summer, which I love to go to, watch those little four-year-olds. You know, they twirl, they laugh.
They take it so lightly.
Exactly. Four-year-olds, incidentally, laugh 400 times a day. Somebody did research on that. Isn't that fascinating?
And how many times a day do adults laugh?
About 30. Research on that also. What do you think happens?
Well, I think we all need to go back to that little four-year-old. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it Carol Burnett said that she accepted an award, and she said, this award goes out to all the children pretending to be adults.
Exactly.
So maybe we should just be mm-hmm. children, hang mm-hmm. out with four-year-olds, get and some laughter therapy, mm-hmm. walk away with better health.
The reason the four-year-olds laugh is 400 times a day, I think, is they live in the moment.
Oh, definitely. Children are definitely in the moment.
Yeah, they're not worried about yesterday, tomorrow, what's going to happen.
Well, Colleen, I want to thank you so much for bringing what you brought today with laughter.
You're very welcome.
Yes, once again, my guest, Colleen Caron, she has a company called RX Smile, and she can be contacted at 847-312-9633. And I would like to thank our listeners, WJJG AM 1530, and Jim, my right-hand man, who is my most awesome programmer. Join Aging Info Radio next Thursday at 1 o'clock. We will be back, and you make it a great day. On an American goodbye note, I believe it is all of our responsibility to take care of our seniors, many of whom are the founders of our country, and may their strength and dedication be passed on for generations to come.
See the moon roll across the stars. See the seasons turn like a heart. Your father's days are lost to you. This is your time here to do what you will do. Your life.